April 23rd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Wapton Senior Center. Health track all day on Thursday, April 11th at Richland County Law Enforcement Center, second floor. Information on these and other services offered by Richland County Health are available at www.richlandcountyhealth.org. That's www.richlandcountyhealth.org.
It's Mornings with Dablo on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW.
Thursday, March 28th. It's a morning show here. Thank you very much for waking up with us here this morning. Appreciate that. And, well, time for one of our favorite segments here from one of our favorite historians, which would be Jana Gagelin. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
How are we doing?
Good, yeah.
Good, good, good.
Yeah. Sun's shining.
Well, and I said, too, we were talking before we went on. I said this last little break with these weather events.
Yep.
Kind of makes it feel like, okay, now we're ready for spring again.
Well, I think it helps us to figure out where we've been.
Yeah.
You know, because we've missed winter.
Yeah.
You know, and
kind of adjust.
Yeah, I've had to look at the calendar a lot.
You and me both. Well, today we're continuing. This is what, like part two or three?
Well, it's part two of Missouri.
Missouri Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And, man, what a great ride this has been. I love these stories. So I'm going to let you take it off on Missouri Bob.
Well, it's been really fun, you know, and to figure out these people. You know, Missouri Bob was, one of his haunts was Lidgerwood.
Right.
But he had a lot of people he knew in Wapaton. Remember last week he went to the state pen in Bismarck.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would write letters to the people in Wapaton, the Farmer Globe. And then he asked them to send him to bring White Owl cigars.
Cigars, yeah.
And I think it was chocolate. And they did.
Yeah.
You know, they jumped in the car and headed to Bismarck.
He was an interesting guy.
He was.
He really was.
And there's a lot more of his story than, because he became a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wrote his story. So his story is that he was born in 1871 in Missouri. Which, you know, that's a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
When he was in our area, he was in the 50s. You know, he was 50 or plus years old, and he was an old thief, an old criminal, you know. It probably had run its course. So
sure.
When he went to the pen, it was probably a good place for him to catch up. He got healthy again and whatever. But anyway.
He could reflect.
He could, and he did. So because he was born in 1871, that's a long, long time ago. And so there weren't a lot of census. There was a census in 1880, and that's the first time I could find him. And
really?
I never found him on a census after that. There's a reason for that. His dad was a physician. And when he was 5 years old, his father passed away. And I think there were about 10 kids in the family.
Wow.
Yeah. So his father passed away when he's 5, 6 years old. And then when he's 12 years old, his mother dies. And he's one of the younger ones of this group of 10. So his other siblings are much older, and they're probably out of the household.
Mm-hmm.
So at the age of 12, he moves to St. Louis from St. James, Missouri. So he moves to St. Louis, and he becomes a newspaper boy. So he stands on the corners and sells newspapers. What, 5 cents, 2 cents, three?
Extra, read all about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what he's doing for a job. And he meets another guy who called a WAIF, W-A-I-F. They live off the streets. They're street people, basically.
Okay.
Homeless. And he and this other kid, they're both 12, 13, they rob a lady in St. Louis. So they end up being sent to reform school. So he's in reform school for a couple of years. He gets out of reform school, and it was really hard on him. He said that was the thing that changed him into becoming the criminal that he was.
Okay.
So from there, he goes to New York, and he learns the craft of bank vaults. And how to blow them, how to open them, how to crack them. So he learns from one of the best. So he becomes then a very, very good safe cracker. At the same time, he also becomes a deadly shot. He was very, very good at that.
A marksman.
Too. He was, yeah. And he was young, so, you know, he was being taught by people who were probably on their way out. So he learns all these techniques, and then he finds his way to Chicago. And as gang people do, they find one another and he does lots of little jobs, you know, here and there. And he meets Aggie O'Brien. I know.
Love the name. So, love the names.
He and Aggie get married, and she's also a street person.
Okay.
You know, probably about his age, living off the streets for who knows how long, but in Chicago this time. So they're married for about less than a year, and then she gets typhoid. Now, she was an accomplished pickpocket, so that was her trade, and she did well. Help provide for them. So they had a little house, you know. And
what a pair.
He was probably a pickpocket, too, mm-hmm. which is how they met. But anyway, so she dies of typhoid, and he has no money. He has $22, which isn't going to be enough to pay for a funeral or right. any arrangements or anything. So he goes out and robs a guy. So he robs a guy of $163, which was quite a lot.
That is a lot know. Back then, sure.
Yes, yes. So he gets his $163 and takes it to the undertaker, and now he's paying for her funeral. Well, sometime later, not all that much later, he ends up being arrested because of this robbery that he did. Okay. And now, of course, he's sent away to someplace for 18 months. So he's back in jail. But the undertaker identified him as the person who looks like the guy who robbed the guy. So after that, he gets out of jail, and then he just kind of wanders around. He robs a gambling house in the Chicago area. Now, that's pretty gutsy.
Mm-hmm.
A gambling house, and you rob it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In and around Chicago.
Yeah, he was traveling with a pretty tough group. He was paid $10,000 by a guy in Minneapolis to kill his wife. Yep. And then he went to Great Falls and did some stuff there. And then he said that he'd been in three state prisons and numerous jails.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, you know, after he got out of jail here, the state pen, then, you know, I was trying to track him. And as I said last week, that I lost track of him after.
Yeah, you say it got to a certain point and then there was nothing.
There was nothing.
Yeah.
So, you know, as they say, when you become a private detective or a snitch, you probably go the trip, you know. So I think he went the trip. Mm-hmm. And when you have 10 or 9 other siblings who are way older than you, they're not going to look for you.
Mm-hmm.
Your father's not living. Your mother's not living.
Right.
What else is there? Your wife has passed away. So he had nothing. He does say that, you know, he had that crippled hand.
Yeah.
He said he got that because he put his fist through a plate glass window trying to rob some jewelry.
Missouri Bob.
Missouri Bob. He was all over, and, you know, you can see kind of how he might be a little well-liked.
Right.
You know, because he's probably friendly, and, you know, and people probably looked at him and said, oh, man, he's got this bad arm. But, of course, he couldn't do any more safe cracking. He couldn't use a gun, you know. So he had to go to the other types of robbery, was snatch and grab kind
of
thing.
What an amazing story. He may have died with nothing, but he left a great story behind.
He did. He did. Yeah. So that's Missouri Bob.
So it's Whitey, Missouri Bob, and it just keeps going on and on.
They have all those names, yeah.
Again, Hollywood script. There is a Hollywood script in here.
there could be.
You could not script this stuff.
No.
Yeah, well, what are we talking next week? Do you have an idea?
I do. We're still in 1924.
Okay.
You know, we got kind of stalled out here.
Sure, but there's a lot going on. You found a lot of good stuff.
Oh, there's more stuff in 1924, but it's not that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It is, but it isn't. I'll say that much, but we'll be looking at front page news again.
All right.
It's a little potpourri, you know.
I love that. I love to see what you come up with.
Oh, yeah. I got a few good ones.
You start digging, you always come up with good things.
Yeah, I can't help it.
That's fine. You just keep it coming.
I will.
Great segment. Jana Gageland talking history here every Thursday at the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW. Good morning.
Let me tell you about Prairie Stone Countertops in New Evington, South Dakota. With a huge demand for high-quality premium stone and fabrication, Prairie Stone is now serving all of South Dakota, North Dakota, and Western Minnesota. They use top-of-the-line technology and premium stone that works for every home and project. Jeff and his crew want to thank every customer for your trust in their products and craftsmanship. If you need a new kitchen, bathroom, or other type of stone countertop, please call Prairie Stone or go to their website, prairie-stone.com, for more information.
Farmers Union Oil of Southern Valley. Hi, this is Wade from Farmers Union Oil of Southern Valley. I wanted to let you know that we have a great selection of sump pumps and hoses on hand. Whether you're looking for a submersible or a pedestal pump, we have you covered. Stop into our Breckenridge Senex location today.
Farmers Union Oil. Farmers Union Oil of Southern Valley.
No one woke up this morning and thought,
I want to go Hagel.
At Quality Toyota, we don't do that. Our bottom line pricing means you get our best price the first time, every time. You'll even have that price before you talk to anyone, because that price is listed online at qualitytoyota.net and in the window of every vehicle. Simple, easy, stress-free. That's the quality difference. Quality Toyota, West Lincoln Avenue in Fergus Falls, qualitytoyota.net. Let's go places.
Great lots for sale in the Tangen Edition in Breckenridge.